whole psalm this morning. You can find it in your bulletins on an insert there. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version from Psalm 18, and then I'll also be reading a portion from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But we'll begin this morning in Psalm 18 and reading from the English Standard Version. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on the cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water out of the brightness before him. Hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of the many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him and kept myself from guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. And then from Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for his blood, by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in Psalm 18, and also as we find it in Romans chapter 3. There are some people who say that King David did not write Psalm 18, for how could King David ever say those words, specifically verses 21 through 23? For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I have kept myself from guilt. How could these words be written by David, these scholars ask? This is the David who committed adultery with Bathsheba. This is the David who had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed by his general, who ordered the men to pull back from battle so that Uriah would be shot down and killed. How could David, the David of 2 Samuel 11 and 12, who sinned with Bathsheba, who murdered Uriah, how could he write these words of obedience unto God? Yet the title to the psalm clearly states that this is a psalm of David. But how can David ever write these words? And what's more, how could anyone write these words? Yet by the time we come to the end of this sermon message, you will see how David spoke these words. Yes, he wrote them. Yes, the scripture is accurate, a psalm of David. But not only can he say them, and did he say them, but you will see that you can say them as well. Let us first remind ourselves this morning exactly what David is writing about in verses 20 through 24 of Psalm 18. As David speaks these words, as David writes these words, you notice at the end of verse 20, he speaks of a reward. According, he writes, to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. What reward is David speaking of that somehow God has bestowed upon him? The reward David is speaking of is written about in the first part of the psalm. You notice that David in verse 3 calls upon the Lord. He calls upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, to save him from his enemies. Verses 4 and 5 describe for us who his enemies are, or who his enemy is. His enemy, his great enemy, is death. His enemies that surround him, Saul and the other enemies described in the books of Samuel, are wanting to kill him. But David understands that death is his real enemy. In verses 4 and 5, he describes how the cords of death have encompassed him. The torrents of destruction have assailed him. The cords of Sheol, that is the grave, entangled him, and the snares of death confronted me. It's as if he is drowning in death. He is surrounded in death, and he calls upon God to save him. And then as you go to verse 16 and 17, you see him describe God's deliverance. He sent from on high. God saved him from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Some translations word it that he took me by the hand and he pulled me out of the waters. He rescued me, verse 17, from my strong enemy and from those who hated me and from those who were too mighty for me. David understands in this psalm that God alone can save him. He could not save himself from this enemy called death. And in verses 7 through 15, he describes the way that God saved him. God saved him by means of what we call in the Old Testament a theophany. The power of God displayed to intercede into the world to save his people. Verse 7, the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them and flashed forth lightnings and routed them. The descriptions given is the description of the way God responds when one of his children is near death, is strangling death, is attacked by its enemies, and God responds, according to David, according to his experience, with power as he delivers his people immediately from the calamity that has come upon them. This is the reward that David is speaking of at the end of verse 20. God has rewarded him. God has delivered him. But why is it then that God rewards him? What is the reason? What does David say? Remember how he introduces it at the end of verse 19. The first half of Psalm 18 is verses 1 through 19, and the hook at the end of verse 19 sets the theme for the next section which follows. Look again at verse 19. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me. He rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Before you read on to the verses that follow, especially concerning the righteousness of which David claims, keep in mind that setting the theme for everything that follows is the fact that David first tells us why God saved him. God saved him because he delighted in him. God had chosen David, the youngest of the sons of Jesse. God had ordained that David would be the man after God's own heart. And God, by the covenant promises he has made with David, has delighted in him. But how then and why would God deliver him? What is the source of that delight? We know it's rooted in the covenant promises. We know that God has initiated it before David has done anything. But as David goes on to verses 20 and 24, we have described for us what David sees as the reason for God's deliverance. Verse 20, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. Now notice, as you drop down to verse 24, we have an inclusio here in our text. That means we have repetition. A verse in verse 24, which uses the same words and the same language at verse 20, setting apart the beginning and the end. Verse 24, so the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. We see that, according to my righteousness. First line of verse 20. Second line of verse 20, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. Second line of verse 24, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. David is speaking of the righteousness that belongs to him and how the Lord has dealt with him because of his righteousness. David understands that the reason for his salvation is because of righteousness. In fact, as David describes it in verse 20 and 24, and he sets apart the center of this text, you see how he describes his righteousness in a particular way. Verse 21, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Positive verse 21, I have kept. The not negative, verse, second half of verse 21. Same thing, verse 22. For all his rules were before me, a positive, and his statutes I did not put away from me, a negative. Verse 23, I was blameless before him, positive, and I kept myself from guilt, it implies a negative. David is describing for us his righteousness in the center of this psalm. God delights, it seems in our text, in David because of his righteousness. But what about that issue we brought out at the beginning of this sermon? According to the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, David was a sinner. In fact, in this psalm, we know that David was a sinner. Otherwise, he would not be fearful of death. For death is the wages of sin. And in verses 4 and 5, David is near death, near suffering the consequences of his sin. David the sinner, David who has sinned, but now speaks of righteousness, and that God has delivered him because of righteousness. Where does this righteousness come from? We know from other places in the Bible that all people have sinned. The book of Romans, the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans chapter 3 concerning the fact that no one is righteous. He even says in verse 23 of Romans 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Not only do we question how David could write these words, but how could anyone, a sinner, write these words or reflect upon these words and apply them to themselves? Because the righteousness that David speaks of is not righteousness which is his own. In fact, back to Romans chapter 3, you see the author, Paul, speaking of righteousness which is not his own. Verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it." The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, David in Psalm 18 is speaking of righteousness, but as you look at the details of the psalm, you see that David and the psalm is showing that this righteousness is not his own. Look at verse 23. "I was blameless before him." But that word is also used in verse 30. It's translated in your text as perfect, but it's the same word. This God, His way is blameless or perfect. In verse 30, David is describing God as perfect. God is the one who is blameless. And then as you go yet further to verse 32, notice David uses that word again. "The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless." Who made David blameless? David tells us that God is blameless. David tells us in verse 32 that God equipped him with strength, and it is God who made his way blameless. That's what the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 3, a righteousness which comes from God, a righteousness which is not of his own, but a righteousness which comes from God is the righteousness of salvation. It was not David's works that he's speaking of. We know that from the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. But David is speaking of God's delight in him. God's delight because of his righteousness, because of God's covenant, because of God's promise to David, because God would apply righteousness unto him. David is one of those in Psalm 18 who is speaking, as Paul says in Romans 3:21, a prophet, a Old Testament prophet bearing witness to something beyond himself. You notice in the first half of this psalm that the enemy David is facing is death. Yes, there are enemies that want to kill him, the hand of Saul and the hand of his enemies, the Philistines. But the great enemy that David faces, as he gets specific in verses 4 and 5, is death. Death because he is a sinner. Death because he needs the salvation of God. He makes it clear in verses 16 and 17 that he cannot save himself. And as he describes the salvation of God, he describes the theophany of all theophanies. Salvation, verse 16, David tells us, comes from on high. Salvation, David tells us in verse 9, comes from the heavens. He bowed the heavens and came down. Salvation comes, the only way to salvation is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And God knows that all of His covenant people are sinners, and all of His covenant people need salvation. And when God knows that they are ready to suffer the wages of their sin, which is death, God responded by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, down to earth. And as David describes the theophany in 7 verse 15, he is describing the wrath of God which was poured upon God's Son, Jesus Christ. As he hung on the cross, the earth, verse 7, reeled and rocked. The foundations of the mountains trembled and quaked because God was angry, His wrath coming upon His Son. The Lord, verse 13, thundered in the heavens. The Most High uttered His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out His arrows and scattered them and flashed forth lightnings and routed them. His wrath coming upon His Son to pay for the sins of His people. He must destroy their sins. Judgment of God must come upon His Son so that His people's sin, His covenant people, like David's sins, may be paid for. And why did he do it? Verse 19, he rescued me, second line, because he delighted in me. Everything that follows is only because God delighted in him. Nothing else. God chose him. God determined that he would be the one to be saved. God delighted in him. We don't know why. He's a sinner like everybody else, but God determined it. And now, as David describes in Psalm 18, sin that is paid for, as it would be someday through Christ on the cross, David describes what Paul tells us in Romans 3 is something else which must be applied. For people who have their sins paid for and washed away, that's not good enough because they're still sinners and they're still going to sin. To enter heaven, you must be perfectly righteous. And where does that righteousness come from? The Apostle Paul tells us it's a righteousness that comes from God, Romans 3. David tells us in Psalm chapter 18 that it is a righteousness which comes from God. And that righteousness would come through God's Son. His Son who would die on the cross to pay for sin and wash it away. But righteousness also which He would perfectly keep. You see those words in Psalm 18, verse 21 through 23? Those are the words of our Savior. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His rules were before me, and His statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before Him, and I kept myself from my guilt. As He lived His life, As he faced Satan in the wilderness, God's rules were always before him. He continued to be blameless before God all of his days. He perfectly kept the ways of God. And by faith, David understands. By faith, Paul understands. By faith, you must understand that that righteousness of our Savior, of David's Savior, by faith, is applied to you. David is not being arrogant in verses 20 through 24. David understands how righteousness would come his way. David understands, as he has described the salvation of God in Psalm 18, that it's not because he deserves it, because he has been such a good person. It is because God has delighted in him. It is because God has opened his heart and mind to understand that he needs righteousness because he is a sinner, and that righteousness has to come from God. And now, as he writes Psalm 18, 20 through 24, he can write this way, he can pray this way, because he knows that the righteousness of God is now his. In fact, David understands it so well. Look as he goes on in the psalm to describe his union and understanding that he belongs to God. As you go to verse 30 again, look what he uses in the last line, that third line of verse 30. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. A shield, a refuge. Look at verse 31. But who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The wording, the shield, the refuge, the rock, those are all the words of the very beginning of the psalm in verses 2 and 3. The descriptions of the psalm in which David says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my shield. David describes his relationship unto God, that he is in union with God, that the things of God, God is a rock, God is a fortress, God is a shield. All those things belong to David because he belongs to God. And so it is with God's righteousness. Because God's Son would forgive his sins. Because God's Son would be perfectly righteous. And God's gift, as Paul tells us in Romans 3, would be that that righteousness now belongs to him. Do you see in verses 25 and 26 the mirror effect of David's understanding? With the merciful or faithful, you show yourself merciful and faithful. With the blameless man, there it is again, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. God is merciful, David is merciful. God is blameless, David is blameless. God is pure, David is pure. But the second line of verse 26, and with the crooked, though, there is no union. You make yourself tortuous. God separates from those who do not belong to him. Those who are crooked, those who are wicked, God punishes and destroys. But those who belong to him, those who understand that salvation is only of him, understand the kind of righteousness that David speaks of. Again, you have doubts? Is David really speaking of salvation of only God? Look how he changes in verse 27 and through 29 the person of which he speaks about God. Throughout the psalm, he has spoken of God in the third person. He is speaking of God as if he is speaking about God and what God has done. But now as he goes to verse 27, he speaks in the second person just to be sure that we understand that he understands salvation is only from God. For you save a humble people. Some people say, David, humble? Go back to those verses 21 through 23. Doesn't it sound like David is arrogant? God save me because I'm so righteous. But David says, verse 27, you save a humble people. Our Savior was humble. David knows that our Savior is coming from heaven as God's Son down to earth as a humble servant to save his people. And all who belong to that humble servant of God, Jesus Christ, are humble with him. But the haughty eyes you bring down, those who think they can save themselves without God, he brings down. Verse 28, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Salvation from the darkness of sin can only come from the light of God, which enlightens your heart, which enlightens your life, so that you understand that in this dark and sinful world, you have no hope but of God. And David writes, you, O Lord, are the one who lights my lamp, not myself. Verse 29, for it is by you I can run against a troop. By God's grace, David finds his strength. By God's grace, he finds his power in this world, that he can face the foes that surround him, the troop, the army, whoever it may be. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. They cannot kill me and destroy me forever. For I belong to God. I am in union with God. And God has saved me, and for you, he saved you on the cross of Christ. And as his righteousness is given to you, you can say these words that David spoke in verses 21 through 23. When God looks down at David at the end of his life, when God looks down at you, at your life, there is a sinner. But God doesn't see those sins. Those sins were washed away on the cross. The righteousness of your Savior is now in your account by faith. And God sees one who is deserving of salvation because you have perfect righteousness, because God delighted in you, because God lit up your lamp, lit up your eyes to see and understand the salvation of God, which David speaks of as a prophet that would come through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Does David have confidence in what he's writing? Where does that confidence come from? Look at verse 30. This God, his way is perfect, blameless. His confidence is not in himself, it's in God. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. David understands the fact that God is a shield, and that if you take refuge in him, you are protected. He understands what it means to belong to God, to know the salvation he has given, and to find comfort and strength each day in it. May you, as God's people, understand the words of Psalm 18. May you see not only David's Old Testament description, but its fulfillment as it has come to us in God's Son, Jesus Christ. May you have the confidence of David that your salvation is secure only in God and His grace given unto you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the words of Psalm 18, for the reminder, Lord, once again, of the great salvation that you have given us in Jesus Christ. As we read the words of this psalm and we see David's description, we see its fulfillment in our Savior. Our Savior who died on the cross, who paid for our sins, who took your wrath upon himself so that our sins would be paid for and washed away, who rose from the grave and conquered death so that death cannot hold us, who lived his life perfectly righteous at the attacks of Satan so that we could identify with him, so that we by faith could have his righteousness given to us. Lord, we rejoice that as we face you, as we face a judgment someday, we know that you see in us the perfect righteousness of our Savior applied to us. Grant us, Lord, your grace as we live each day, that we may live out the righteousness of Christ, that we may know and live with confidence that our sins are paid for, that our greatest enemy, death, has been subdued, that we someday will be in your presence forevermore in eternal life with you. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.